He got laryngitis, he said, a little bit. But he gets preaching out of it, he'll get rid of that.
That's right. Thank you, Pastor. Good evening. It's good to be here with you folks. Yeah, I have this little problem. I was going to introduce my wife and my family, and they snuck out when I was getting up here, so I'll introduce them in just a second. Do forgive me if I sound a little bit hoarse. I've always been a little bit self-conscious. I've always had a weird voice, and didn't mind that till I had my two little girls. My youngest girl, Olivia, she's 5, and her voice is deeper than mine, so I thought that's not fair, but anyway, as long as you can understand me, we'll be thankful for the voice that we got. The Lord's really blessed us. We've been back in the States since the very first part of July. During that time, well, starting in August, we visited, I think this is our 33rd church that I've spoken in. We've got about 20 more churches to go, and the Lord's blessed in incredible ways. The Lord's provided for us every step of the way, and it's just been a real blessing. And one of the things that I want to mention before I even get started was when we were in Peru, I asked that the church people there at the church that we were working in when we left, it's been going for a couple years, but still a fairly new church, and I asked the people, I said, the best thing you can do to encourage me as a missionary is keep working hard, grow the church. I remember preaching that last Sunday. I said, when I come back, I want to see a church bigger and better than it was when we left, and this is your work that you can do for the Lord. And so the people took that to heart, and I'm excited to report to you today that every single month that we've been gone, there's been at least one person saved. Back the third week of January, they had a medical campaign that the people at the church did themselves. And we had some American missionaries go down there to help them, but the people themselves organized it and had, I think, 31 decisions for Christ, 31 people saved in that one day. And so the Lord's doing great things in Peru, and joked with them by email and said, now, if you don't want us to come back, we understand, but they want us back, and we're excited to see that they took that message to heart and they're doing great things in Peru. I will now introduce my wife since she's standing. Here comes Debbie. And then our little girl, Olivia, she's 5 years old in kindergarten. And then Elizabeth, you can stand up. She is Elizabeth, and she's in fourth grade. We say that the girls have the wonderful ministry of attracting attention. And so they're doing a good job of that today. And so we're excited that they're able to be a part of our ministry. I have to tell you, when we first came back to the States, life was different for us. The girls didn't remember the United States. Olivia especially didn't remember it. Elizabeth had a few memories. And we flew into Miami. We went into the first restaurant. I hate to admit, we went to a fast food place, but we were starving to death after getting off the plane. It was about lunchtime. And Elizabeth came up to me and she said, Daddy, that man over there at the fountain, he took a drink. He got a refill, and I don't think he paid for it. I said, well, sweetie, here in the United States, you get all the refills you want. Her eyes got real big. Really? Said, yeah. So she's looking at that drink machine, you know, with her eyes about this big, and she says, Daddy, can I try that Dr. Pepper? I said, oh, you mean Dr. Pepper. Well, what's that? So, yeah, you can try Dr. Pepper. So she went and she wanted to get her Dr. Pepper. She said, can I fix my own drink? I said, sure. So I was waiting on the food. I gave the girls the cups, and Debbie's going to take a place at the table, and I'm waiting for the tray, and all of a sudden I hear, Daddy, Daddy. The whole restaurant's looking around, and she's standing over there at the drink machine, and there's Dr. Pepper just running down her arm. She says, it won't cut off. I said, honey, just move the cup. And she's like, oh. And so we went from that to, we went to the hotel that first night, and Olivia had never seen automatic opening doors, and she would stand in front of the door and step back and open it. This is in Florida. It's the summertime. It's like 100 degrees outside, and the door swinging, open and closing, and open and closed. And everybody's looking at us like, where are these people from? So we've come a long way. Now we're a little bit more like Americans now, and so they've adjusted well. The girls are doing well in school. They're at Union Grove Christian School over in Lexington, and we'll be heading back tonight, so they won't miss any school. They'll be in class tomorrow. So I appreciate your prayers for the girls. And we just count it a privilege to have them in our lives and as a real vital part of our ministry as well in Peru. What I'd like to do tonight is we're going to show you a video presentation that I hope will be able to show you exactly some of the things the Lord's allowed us to accomplish in Peru over the last number of years and let you see a little bit about what Peru looks like. You're going to see real quick in the video that we live in a desert. We actually live in the driest metropolitan area on earth, and we get about a tenth of an inch of rain a year, tenth of an inch. And so that doesn't actually fall as raindrops very often. Most of the time it's just mist that comes in the dead of wintertime when it's foggy. So a very, very dry place. But you're going to find out real quick that not only is it a geographic desert that you can pinpoint on a map, it's also a spiritual desert as well, with people thirsting for something. And we have what we know that they need, which is the water of life, of course, Jesus Christ. So what I'd like to start now, watch the video, and we'll go from there.
Imagine a land with no vegetation. A land with no reliable source of water. A place where children have never seen a thunderstorm. Imagine a city of 10 million people, filling the desert with activity and life. This place is our mission field. This place is Lima, Peru. Lima was founded in 1535 by the Spanish conquistadors and served for centuries as a center of Spanish life in South America. For nearly 500 years, the city has grown and developed into a patchwork of life and activity. Today, the Greater Lima area is the world's 18th largest city. Nearly half of Lima's population lives in the shanty towns that surround the city. Lima is also home to modern areas with high-rise offices, shopping centers, and wealthy gated communities. It's difficult to imagine that life can be sustained in an area where there is no real source of water. The Rimac River that serves as the main water source for the area is often completely dry. Yet with hard work and innovation, water is available here in the desert. Beautiful parks filled with tropical plants and trees abound, always watered artificially, of course. Acres of coastal dust have been converted into valuable productive farmland. Water is available for modern living, even to fill the world's largest water fountain park. The spiritual parallel to Lima is easy to see. A land with little to no life. A place where mankind could never survive. Yet with the arrival of water, life is restored and growth appears. We're reminded of a similar truth from God's Word. In the Gospel of John, we can find the story of Jesus witnessing to the woman at the well. She was dying of thirst, a spiritual thirst, as she looked for meaning in life. Jesus said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Lima, Peru is more than just a geographic desert. It's a spiritual desert of lost souls in need of the water of life.
It's been said that the greatest crime in the desert is to find water and keep silent about it. We've been given the water of life, Jesus Christ. We can't keep silent. What about those who still thirst, like Alejandro, a homeless, drug-addicted man that stumbled into our church looking for a shady place to sit? Alejandro grew up in a Catholic home, but knew something was missing in his life. For weeks, he came each time the church doors were open. He listened, but he couldn't bring himself to give up drugs or his Catholic roots. Alejandro was still lost and searching for the water of life.
There are others like Irene. We met her family walking in the street near the church. Irene, like most Peruvians, considers herself a good Catholic. She came to church thinking we had the same teaching as the Catholics. She listened carefully at each service, even squirming in her seat under conviction. When confronted with the gospel, she once commented, "I can't believe that. It would mean my entire family is going to hell." Irene's husband trusted Christ, but she's still trusting in her works. Irene is miserable, still thirsting for the truth. There are millions of others with the same story.
God is still at work in Peru. As we've shared the gospel, people have listened. Lives have been changed. During our first term, most of our work revolved around the church planting ministry at the Faith Baptist Church. In 2003, we were able to help with the official founding of the church and later the purchase and expansion of the building and the calling of a national pastor. The church continues to grow and send out workers to Lima and to other parts of Peru.
As we began our second term, we faced the tough decision of where to begin a new ministry. God led us to begin a work in Viña Alta, near our home. Many of the families in that neighborhood moved to Lima looking for work and safety during the peak of Peru's terrorism. The area has the look and feel of a mountain village dropped in the urban center of Lima. With no contacts in the area, we began an extensive door-to-door survey, witnessing and distributing tracts. We spent hours each week talking with people in the streets and were amazed by how receptive they were. Several trusted Christ, and soon we had a small group interested in gathering for Bible study. Then we held our first service in a small rented room. We spent the following months promoting the new church ministry with special events, a medical campaign, a soccer tournament, a gospel concert. Vacation Bible School, Kids Clubs, and Evangelistic Films. God used these events to make us well-known and respected in the community. By the end of our first year in Viña Alta, God had given us many opportunities to share the water of life.
In the midst of this great city, in a hillside neighborhood of more than 4,000 people, in a single room, there is an oasis where the water of life is flowing, the Baptist Mission of Viña Alta. Those with a spiritual thirst have come here, and their lives have been changed forever. Like Francisco and Nogit, a young couple that we met. Each time they were invited, they would nervously look at the floor, obviously trying to hide the problems mounting in their lives. After hours of home visits, counseling, and Bible studies, the two came to Christ in the same month. Francisco used to spend weekends playing soccer and drinking with the neighborhood men. After coming to Christ, he left that life behind and now faithfully attends the church. Nogit has become a faithful part of Our Ladies' Ministries and helps with many church activities, including the children's clubs. Before they met Christ, their lives were dry and empty. Today, they have a reason to live.
God also led us to two brothers, Dandy and Christopher. These young men were some of the first to arrive for our youth meetings. Their motivation for coming was to enjoy the games and then to rudely disrupt the Bible study. They would scream, make sarcastic jokes, and even threw chairs. But a loving God was working in these young men's hearts. They began to hear the teaching and to ask intelligent questions. After several challenging months, they came to Christ. The change in them was obvious to everyone. Their parents commented that the boys were respectful in the home. Their grades improved. They began to speak up at school, witnessing for the Lord. They invited friends to church, and many came. Both are considering full-time Christian service in the future. These young men found the water of life.
Viña Alta is filled with young children. Early on, we focused on ministering to them. They came out in large numbers, but were unruly, rude, and hard to manage. With loving discipline, Bible stories, songs, and games, the children began to change. They became orderly, respectful, and eager to learn. These changes were noticed at the local public school. We were amazed when the principal invited us to share our ministry there. Parents began to show up at church wanting to know about this place that had such a positive impact on their children. The water of life was spreading beyond the walls of our tiny church. The ministry of Viña Alta also grew tremendously with the help of visiting teams from the U.S. During the last 3 years, we were able to host over 100 teens and adults. These teams participated with open-air meetings, children's clubs, vacation Bible schools, youth rallies, and tract distribution. One group even showed the love of Christ by building a home for a needy family. God used their energy and enthusiasm to spread the gospel, quenching the spiritual thirst of many.
After 2 terms in Peru, we have an even greater burden for the millions in Lima. Each day, more thirsty people arrive, needing to hear about the water of life. How can we help them quench the spiritual thirst in their lives and bring spiritual water to the desert of Lima? When we return to Peru, we will continue our ministry in Viña Alta. An immediate goal is to purchase property and provide a larger permanent home for the church. As the work continues to grow and mature, we plan to use key members of the church to work with us as we survey other spiritually needy areas. After the gospel has been shared in Viña Alta, there are hundreds of other neighborhoods waiting to hear the truth of God's word and drink of the water of life. Have you ever been dying of thirst on a hot summer day? Just couldn't wait to have a sip of ice-cold water? Remember that feeling of satisfaction when you had a thirst-quenching drink? We want to deliver that same refreshing water of life to our neighbors in Peru. Spiritual water that will sustain a soul for eternity. Spiritual water which can only be found in Jesus Christ. Life has come to the desert. What will you do to help the spiritual thirst of millions in Peru?
number of years. A couple things I did want to mention to you right from the start. You'll notice there was a man that was teaching in the youth meeting, and his picture was in there several times, a Peruvian gentleman. That's Pastor Danielle. And we prayed that the Lord would help us to find a national pastor to work with us from the very beginning. We believe that'll help us every time we start a new church to have a national pastor to share the speaking and preaching obligations and the leadership of the church. It's worked very well, and that way when church is ready to be on its own, it makes the transition easier and the people accept him as their pastor. And so things have been going well. Pastor Danielle's in touch with me all the time by email, and so pray for him. He's doing a great job there in Peru, but he's got some health issues. They just found a 2-inch tumor behind his eye. And it sounds bad. It's not as bad as it sounds. It's not cancer, but it does have to be removed. So pray for him that he'll have wisdom. He told us recently in an email that he was concerned about having it removed because hospitals in Peru, they like to find, he used the word victims, to practice on. And he said you have to find somebody that you trust to make sure the doctor is actually qualified. A lot of times they'll claim they're qualified to do something, but they've never done it before, and they just want to learn. And so they practice on victims, I guess you'd say. So pray for Pastor Danielle that he can find a reputable place to have that taken care of and that that'll be healed up fine. The Lord, like I said, is doing great things in Peru. Our church is probably about a third. The entire building is probably about a third of the size of this platform. It's very, very small. We need something bigger, and we've been looking and looking, praying about that. There's just not a lot available at this point. And so I just got report right after Christmas that they had 90 people in that little small space on the day after Christmas on December 26th. And we only have 40 chairs, so I don't know where they put all the people, but a great, great day. Lord's doing good things in Peru, so pray for the work there that it continues to go on. A couple other things to mention to you there. You notice the ministry going into public schools. I think it's interesting. Here in the United States, we consider ourselves a Christian nation, but from what I understand now, even Gideons have a hard time going out to hand out Bibles in schools. It's hard to do anymore. Here's Peru, a Catholic nation, 85 to 95% Catholic. We're allowed to go in freely into the schools. There's a school that's about a block and a half from our church, 1,500 students in that building. And so I asked the administrator, the school principal, if we could come in, and she said to me, well, how long do you want for an assembly, 2 hours or three? I said, wow, let's start with 30 minutes, and we'll see how it goes. So wide open door, and we watched as those students filed in and stood practically in silence at attention until we asked them to sit down. And not a sound. You could hear a pin drop in that place as we were able to share Bible stories, teach them Bible songs with the younger kids. We did little skits and puppet shows and so forth. Wide open door of opportunity. We've also been able to hand out Bible story CDs that have Bible stories for children, sound effects and music and so forth. We've been able to hand out over 50,000 of those CDs with the help of our coworkers in different schools in Lima. Perhaps the most exciting thing, though, we were asked to participate in what they call an Escuela de Padres. That's a parent school. And these are required by law. It'd be sort of like a PTA meeting here in the States, but these are workshops for the parents to help them be better parents and to help with the education of their kids. We were asked to come in, and you talk about a captive audience, okay? The parents come in. They had to be there. They had to show a photo ID to get in the door, to sign in, to prove that they were there. If they were not at that meeting, they had to pay a fine. And then as they walked in at 7 o'clock when it was time to start, they had guards at the gates. They closed the gates shut and padlocked them. And they would not let anybody out. I know they were strict because a lady that was there to help us left her jacket in my car. They would not let her even go out to get her jacket. No one was allowed to leave. And as we walked in, there was about 900 parents sitting there to hear. And we were asked to speak. You ready for this? Public school. We were asked to speak on biblical principles for raising your children. And so we were able to go in, wide open door of opportunity. They all received a gospel tract. They received printed out literature about biblical principles for parenting with directions to our church. I joked with Pastor Danielle. I said, what are we going to do if they all show up for church tomorrow? He said, well, I don't know what we'll do. And so, of course, we knew they wouldn't all come. But we made literally hundreds of contacts, and we actually have people that come to our church now as a result of that. And, of course, many, many, many seeds planted that day right there in a public school. So pray for that. We'll continue to go into schools in the days ahead with groups and individuals, and it's just a really exciting thing. Also, like I said, the medical campaign was an exciting thing. We just saw a good number of souls saved, the groups that are coming down. So the Lord's doing exciting things in Peru. We just want to thank y'all for being a part of that.